Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Hallelujah. I know the reason you are not clapping is that you are looking at the physical parameters around you. But guess what? I came to announce to you that you are indeed on your way to better days. Hallelujah. Would you just help me appreciate City of David one more time? Praise God. And kindly do appreciate yourself for making it to service tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your presence, your grace, your power that is indeed available in this meeting. We ask, Lord, that you will speak to us from your word. Cause the speaker and the hearers to be blessed according to it. The Bible says, because we have heard the word, you see, even they that read it are blessed. We thank you because you will transform us by the information of your spirit. Let Jesus be made manifest in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. I said in Jesus' name we pray. Tonight I'll take a text from Mark chapter 1. Slightly lengthy read it, but it's under construction service. It's midweek. So we can read the entire 15 verses. What a read. Praise God. It will do us a lot of good. Borrowed a topic from Pastor Bidemi, who is the topic giver. Praise God. If you need topic, you ask to speak anywhere, you need a topic, just try and explain to Pastor B what you are talking. He will give you a topic. How many people remember Almost Charge? Almost Charge, power bank empty. You see, it's only Pastor Bidemi that can get those kind of topics. Hallelujah. I'll tell you the topic after we read Mark chapter 1. Is it the beginning of the gospel? Mark chapter 1. Mark's gospel, if you are a student of the Bible, you will discover theologians say that Mark's gospel is the oldest of the gospels. And Mark was not really writing everything he wrote as a first-hand witness of what he saw, okay? So Mark was really writing according to the information he received, because a lot of the things he said, he was not present, but he was writing in the second person, and theologians tell us he was listening to some of the things that Peter was saying, with which he began to write his epistles and added his own commentaries. Praise God. So Mark writes like an action movie. He doesn't tell too much stories. He just goes to the action. So you would read verses in Mark and he will say it in one sentence. But if you read it in Luke, there's an entire story behind it. But Mark is in a hurry. It's like an action movie. How many people like to watch action movie? Mark is like that kind of director. Praise God. He said, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You see, Mark does not begin to tell us when he was born. You know, Matthew starts, and this is the genealogy of Christ. And somebody begat somebody, and somebody begat another person. And Ferez, because Mark is not interested. He said, this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. He said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Verse 4 tells us that John did baptize. You see, the stories are not linking. Are you understanding? He's skipping. Prepare, John is already baptizing in the wilderness and preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. John was clothed with camel's hair, not in good dress code for House on the Rock preachers, and with a girdle of skin about his loins, more like a herbalist rather than a preacher. And he did eat wild locust and honey. If they told you that Pastor Ed has started dressing in camel's skin with a girdle around his waist and is eating wild locust, you know you will relocate church quickly, because that's the beginning of the end. Hallelujah. All right. Okay. And he went on to them. Okay. Where are we? Verse 5. And they went out unto all. Okay. Verse 6. And John was clothed in camel's hair. 7. And he preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, and the latchet of his shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. And I indeed baptize with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan, and straightway coming out of the water. You know that there is a story in between that verse. You know, when Jesus got on the line, John saw him and said, behold, the Lamb of God. Luke tells us this insight, but John is in a hurry. If you ever read John and think you have read the complete scripture, please. Mark is in a hurry. He just says that Jesus showed up and it came to pass, and Jesus, and straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit looked like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And there he was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted of Satan. Notice that it was the Spirit that drove him into the wilderness, and was there with wild beasts, and angels ministered unto him. Let me stop there. All right. Now, and after this, John was put in prison. Hallelujah. If you notice that Mark uses a lot of the phrase suddenly, immediately, after this. If you want to know what happened before that, go and find out somewhere else. I'm not interested. Okay, so I will use some of the construct from Mark's gospel for a title. I want to call it the things before and after. All right, because you would keep seeing that Mark would say something that happened before and those that happen after. It is interesting that Mark runs at this pace. He introduces in verse 4 that Jesus, John, came baptizing in the Jordan. Verse 9 tells us that Jesus came. Verse 11, he said a voice also came. Things are happening in rapid fashion. Verse 11 says a voice came. Verse 13 said the angels came. And this is the kind of movie I like to watch. Everything happened quickly. You know those kind of movie you watch, you go and sleep and come back and you have not missed anything. You slept for 2 hours. You still understand the film. And when you ask the person that was awake, what happened? He said, the boy just come back. He said, okay, now here they can't continue. You know, that's all you missed, that the boy went and came back after 2 hours. No, if you watch Mark's movie, you will miss a lot. Everything is happening very quickly. It's interesting that Jesus Christ went to Mark, to John the Baptist in the wilderness to get baptized. But before this time, Luke and John and Matthew tells us that Jesus had been in Nazareth. John says that this is the beginning of the gospel, but we know that this is not the beginning of Jesus' life. Jesus was in Nazareth all the while until he came to Jordan. In other words, he was preparing before he showed up in Jordan. Now, Jesus shows up in Jordan and goes to John for a baptism. The interesting thing that happens in that baptism, Because John's baptism was an interesting thing. He was cursing the people that came as he was baptizing them. Very interesting preacher. As he baptized them, he will call them serpents. You brood of serpents. And he's still baptizing and the people are still coming. Alright? So as he was cursing them one after the other, he lifted his voice and he was just about to say, "You serpent." And he looked at the man in front of him. He said, "Oh, sorry, you savior. Why are you here?" And Jesus said, "I came for a baptism." Notice he had already told the people that there is one that was coming that he was not worthy to baptize. And now this one was in front of him. So he made a reversal of the roles. He asked Jesus, he said, "I'm in need of your own baptism." Praise God. I said, you will not get all of these stories in Mark. "I'm in need of your own baptism." So Jesus tells him, he said, "Do not worry. Suffer it so for now that we may do what? We may fulfill the scriptures or the prophecy." All right? So John baptizes Jesus. Immediately, Jesus goes into the water and is arising up. Heaven opens up and a voice from heaven says concerning Jesus, "This is my beloved son." It's interesting that this validation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God comes before Jesus ever did any miracle. Notice he had not started his ministry, not preached, nobody had been healed, no eyes had been opened, no wine had been multiplied. He had not done anything, but he gets a pass mark from his father. God says, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." The reason to be pleased in people is either they have done something over time that you are now able to validate or vouch. Have you ever applied for a job and they tell you to go and bring a guarantor? One that must have known you for over 5 years. Anybody here? And then you check all the people you know, they only know you for 3 years. Because you keep changing friends every 3 years. They took and bring a guarantor that has known you for 7 years. The reason is because they believe that this person can validate your character or your person. Because they think that this person must have known you over a period of time and seen how you perform or how you behave and can vouch for your character, and they will tell you that the person should validate you. This is not the scenario here. Jesus had not done anything. But the Father gives him a validation. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well." If he only said "please," I would not have been bothered. He said, "I am well pleased." However, you must notice that validation only comes after what? So what did Jesus do to get the Father's validation? Remember, we're in that season where we're building an ark. So what did Jesus do to get the Father's approval? Anybody, just throw in. You can throw in an opinion. I know it's a preaching, but you can say. So Jesus showed up in Jordan and carries out an act of obedience. Not an act of performance, but an act of obedience. Let me tell your neighbor, validation. Tell your neighbor, validation comes after obedience, not before. Remember, I'm talking about things before and what? And after. So, God validates Jesus Christ in the process of obedience, not in the process of performance. This will make sense very soon. If you do not get God's validation just because you are who you are in Him, if you are not certain of it, people will use performance to take away your validation. Oh, somebody's not listening to me. If you are not sure that you are indeed the Son of Man, that you are indeed a child of God, that you are already bought with a price, that your name is inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life, very soon down the road, people will ask you to do certain things to prove that you are a man, when already you have seen yourself in a mirror that you are a man. And you too will jump at the request, trying to perform for people that do not have any scorecard for you. Listen, validation comes in the process of obedience. So as Jesus explains to John, suffer it so to be now that we might obey the prophecy. The Father validates him. Is there a performance to be done? Yes, later, but don't worry. Guess what? Your performance will always fall short. Write it down. Your performance will always fall short. Always, underline it. Always. You will be improving, you will be getting better. But if you are judged by certain standards, your performance will always fall short. Number one. So validation only comes after what? Obedience. So the voice comes, then the Spirit, the Bible says that as soon as he went into the water and he was being lifted out of the water, the heavens opened, and what happened? A dove, the Spirit descended like a dove. This Spirit did not show up while Jesus was on the queue. Oh my God. The Spirit did not show up while Jesus was on the queue. When he was trekking to the Jordan, the Spirit did not show up. Immediately Jesus gets dipped in the water, on his way out of the water, the Spirit shows up, descending as a dove. Notice that God's love was already present. And the Spirit signifies certain things. Have you ever heard a Christian say something like, only Christians say these things? I don't have any peace about this thing. You'll not understand until they use it for you. So you have been in a relationship 3 years. Then suddenly you are hoping. And the person just calls you, say, Linda, you know, this relationship, I'm not having peace. Eesh. Malata. Where do you get peace from now? But have you heard people, they want to give an a seed. They say, so a seed. Like, I've not had any release, any peace. And once a Christian use the word peace, no, you're in trouble. They don't change it all. Because even you don't know where they got the peace from in the first place and where it went to. You say, I don't have any peace. But listen, the dove that signifies the peace of God only comes in the process of obeying. Jesus was already in the water. Dove did not show up before they put him. On his way out of the water, the Holy Ghost shows up. Somebody has been waiting to do something you already know you should do, but you are waiting for God's peace. When God's peace is waiting for the action of your obedience.
Oh, if you start the journey, peace will meet you there. Something you already know is scriptural. Man of God, which peace do you need to pray? He said, this prayer meeting, we don't have peace in the spirit about it. You need peace for a prayer meeting. You will soon buy war. I don't have release to study this week. It sounds very spiritual, right? Release to study. When you were reading for your exam, you waited for release. Is that the way this can 101 is going? I don't have any release to enter the class. Yeah. How many people did it? It was while you were troubled about the course. It was when you sat through the lecture that the peace came. Hallelujah. It did not come to meet you outside. The peace will meet you in the process of obedience. So tell your neighbor, peace only shows up after obedience is being carried out. Not before. I like the way Mark puts this thing. Before and after. Jesus gets to the Jordan. He obeys. After obedience, validation shows up. Not before. Peace descends in the process of carrying out the obedience. It looks like faith is working. And now this dove that represents the Holy Ghost, represents everything that we need to succeed in our Christian walk, descends upon Jesus Christ, empowers him, confirms him with the peace of God, that God is at peace with him. Validation has come. But this is a very interesting dove that comes down. This spirit has a mind of its own. Because I like the way John puts it. It doesn't describe anything. The next thing Mark says is that the Spirit led him into the wilderness. And what were they going to do there in the wilderness? He said to be tempted. To be tempted of the devil. Now, so after validation, listen to this. So temptation only shows up after what? Validation. If you do not get a validation before your temptation shows up, you are in trouble. Your temptation is designed to make you doubt your validation. So if your validation was not based on the idea, on the truth that you are the righteousness of Christ, God in Christ, then you will have issues in the wilderness. The Bible says that the Spirit led Jesus straight into the wilderness, and he was there for 40 days, dining and whining with the animals. And guess what? And after 40 days, you know, John does not tell us all of those stories. But what happened after the 40th day? He said, then the devil came and asked Jesus, knowing fully well that the man of God was hungry, and said, turn these stones into bread if thou art what? Oh, Jesus Christ. Was that not what the voice came to say? Now the devil wants him to perform something he had already got without performance. Somebody, the devil is telling you that thing too now. He wants him to perform, to approve something he got without performance. So the devil shows up and says, if thou be the Son of Man. What did the voice say? Thou art the Son of God, in whom I'm what? Well pleased. The devil shows up and says, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones now into bread. That's the point some of you flex and say, Maya Takaye, we will prove today. You did not come to prove anything. Hallelujah. We will prove today. You are only proving because you are not sure you are a woman. I've not seen any man that they say, prove you are a man. And you too, you are trying to prove. You don't see how I look. I turn like this, I'm a man. You see, I wear trousers. Are you crazy? The only reason you are trying to do so is that there is a doubt in your mind that you are not really a man. Somebody has told you that men must always, at the age of 25, have $1 million in their account. So now you are 26. All you have is 360 naira. So somebody now said to you, prove to me that you are a man. You see, you have now jumped your validation into the realm of performance. Hallelujah. Because in the realm of performance, what will have us happen? You will always fall short. The day of this temptation, if only you knew that a week after that temptation, somebody would call you and say, are you so and so? We hear you are very good in this thing. We have a contract that is worth 3 billion for you. And you say, oh, what did I do 3 days ago? Oh God, only no, the reason was because you did not hear well in the waters what God validated. What you take out of the water, you do battle with in the wilderness. So the devil comes and says to Jesus, if thou art the Son of Man, turn these stones into bread. I like the reply Jesus gave. It is what? It is written. There is already a verbalized proclamation over my life that has already concretized in my mind to announce to me without an iota of doubt, even though I have not performed any miracles yet, even though no eyes have been opened, guess what? If you relax, I will open a lot of blind eyes later. Even you too, you see, I will raise some dead bodies, okay? Just chill, relax, just give me some time between now and next 3 years. I will raise the dead, the lame will walk, the blind will see. However, even though I've not yet done any of these things, hallelujah, there is already a written statement concerning me that I am the Son of God. Hallelujah. So I do not need to turn stones to bread to validate that matter. See, you need to hold tight to your validation. There is a temptation. It's just because right now a lot of us indeed are in the temptation phase. So we have forgotten all the things that God has already validated concerning us. And we are trying to do battle with temptation in the realm of performance. Hallelujah. No, sir. Every temptation is the opportunity to demonstrate your validation. And guess what? After the demonstration, angels came, not before. And the Bible said that angels came to strengthen him. What were they doing since? Why did they not strengthen him before the devil showed up? Is it not right that he needs the strength for the battle? He said, these angels, you people are little. The devil has come and gone. You now came to strengthen me. So a lot of us are in trouble. We are praying. Hey, Lord, deliver. Let angels appear. Hala. Angels are saying, no, we do not come before. We come after. There is before and after. We come after. If we interfere with the temptation, you would not have had the chance to prove to yourself that you know your validation. As soon as Jesus stood and demonstrated his validation, the Bible said
that angels showed up. Psalms 41, 1 to 3. Oh, Peter said in 1 Peter 5:10, say, for the God of all grace, after that you have suffered a while, just a short while. If the suffering there does not mean you are carrying heavy load, the devil is punishing you. No, no. After you have demonstrated your validation, he said, now the God of all grace. Listen to this. Let me close with this. Verse 1. So the chief musician in Psalm of David, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. Very confusing scripture. Blessed is he that does build an ark, a random act of kindness, considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him. Sorry. This scripture really should read, the Lord will bless and then you will consider the poor and the Lord will deliver you. Are you understanding this? You are supposed to be blessed first. Aren't you supposed to be blessed? When you are blessed, hallelujah, out of the abundance of your blessing, you now consider the poor, praise God. You go around and say, I'm blessed of God, hallelujah. We consider the poor. Then the Lord will deliver him out of in the time of trouble. No, sir. There is before and after. Blessed is he that considers the poor. The blessing comes after you have considered the poor. As soon as you go about considering the poor, guess what you are doing? You are blessed. Hallelujah. You are not blessed to consider the poor. You are blessed because you are considering the poor. It comes in the process of carrying out what? The obedience. Somebody wants to be blessed. Somebody wants to grow in faith. Somebody wants to become a kingdom financier. Somebody is praying and saying, Lord, channel heaven's blessing through my life. If only you will bless me, God. I will mesmerize people with gifts. People will fall under the weight of my generosity. And God is saying, I'm sorry, I don't understand this statement. You are blessed. Go ahead and mesmerize the people under the weight of your generosity. As you carry out the obedience, guess what? There will be a validation from heaven. This is my blessed son, in whom I am well pleased. Can somebody be on their feet tonight? I didn't come to preach. I just came to teach. And if you can go home with this simple reality of scripture, that you will do, you will not expect before what comes after. But you just close your eyes and just ask for one thing tonight. And just say, Lord, I go out in obedience. If there is the month of random acts of kindness, then I want to walk in the obedience. It is in the obedience that the validation shows up. Some people are just waiting to get peace. And the Lord has been talking to you and say, you see this thing that you have, this one, give it out. There's one person I want you to show kindness for. And you are saying, no, I don't have peace. There's no release. You see, I've been praying about this. This is my car. I've been praying. I just want peace. No, sir. The peace comes not before, but after. As soon as you give it, you just feel the peace of God. Say, wow, this is so nice. Bless God. I feel so blessed right now. I feel so blessed I gave that out. Oh, what a blessing. Hallelujah. Can somebody just pray and say, Father, anoint me with the spirit of obedience. If you pray that prayer sincerely, something will happen in your life. Anoint me with the spirit of obedience. There is something that obedience has. It opens the door. There are certain things that do not happen before obedience. It doesn't matter how many times you pray, how hard you pray, how much you shout. They do not happen before obedience. It's only after. There is before and there is after. Praise God. Somebody pray and say, Lord, anoint me with the spirit of obedience. I want to be that believer that hears your word, hears your nudging, and I'm in the act. The Bible says that as soon as the lepers started leaving, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And they were not healed. But as soon as they started heading to the priest, come on, a miracle. It only happens in the process of obedience. God's power is going to meet you somewhere. There's something God has been asking you to do. And you have been waiting for all manner of peace, all manner of Christianic peace. Say, I don't have a peace. I don't have a peace. I'm not released. Come on, release yourself. The peace of God will meet you there. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Would you put your hands together? Bless God.
I think you can do better than that.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, you can log on to www.hotrwordhouse.org. Truly, the word works.